It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 8. I just about said Genesis. We're in Exodus, Exodus chapter 8, and we're going to begin reading with verse 27. So please that you would open your Bibles and follow along if you can. If you're listening while you're traveling, that's just fine too. Please enjoy the study today. While you're looking that up, I'm going to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois. We're at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And we're at 18th and Church Street in Hamilton, Illinois, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. I'm glad that you've joined us today. We'll begin reading now in Exodus chapter 8, verse 27. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. And Moses said, Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh for his servant, from his servants and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people, that remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. Now we're going to get into the 9th chapter, but let's begin with prayer first and finish up the 8th chapter. Dear Father, we thank and praise you that we can come today and enjoy this study. I need your power and your will and your wisdom as we come together to search your word. I ask, dear Father, that each individual, each person, man, woman, and child that is listening today, that they will hear your word and hear from you. Please, dear Lord, that it be clear, it will be simple, and all will understand, and all will know their need of salvation, all will know how to be saved, and all will grow closer to you today. I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Again, I am glad that you've joined us today. It's a wonderful opportunity we have to come and study your God's Word together. And we have been going through the plagues in this section of Scripture. We're on our way to the Promised Land. And so as we find our way to the Promised Land, there is many difficult times that come to pass. One of them is getting the Israelites, the nation of Israel, released from Egypt. And so God has come to deliver his people. And that's what we're in the process of right now. We have studied and enjoyed the study of the water into blood was the first plague that was given. That was in the 7th chapter, verse 20. And then the frog invasion. We had that, if you remember. And so as we looked at the frogs here, why we had that, that was chapter 8, verse 6. The lice, chapter 8, verse 17, and then we find in the last section here has been the flies, and otherwise known as beetles, and that was in chapter 8, verse 24. As we looked at those first four, and there's a total of 10 that we're going to proceed through, we need to look at the gods that this stood against, and the ultimate is against all gods, which will be the death of the firstborn, and that's the last plague, and that's the one that finally Pharaoh decides to let them go, at least temporarily, and then he even chases back after them because he changes his mind. He's such an evil, wicked man. We find the first one, the water into blood, was Osiris, and that's the god of the Nile. The next is Hekt, H-E-K-T, the frog goddess. The next is Seb or Geb, either way. That's the earth god. That was the lice. And then the final one that we have studied is the beetles or the flies, and that's Hatcock, the wife of Osiris, and that which is the god of the Nile. And so we have looked at those, and each time that God brought something against the nation of Egypt, the land of Egypt, and specifically against Pharaoh himself, why, when he did that, he would always, it would be against a one of the gods that they served, one of the main gods. Now, we're to the place of the flies or the beetles here right now, and we find that we are inquiring that we want to go away from the land of Egypt, 3 days' journey to do this opportunity, this sacrifice. And we find that Pharaoh here is interceding. He is trying to get, he's agreed to let them sacrifice the Lord, for the Lord and to the Lord. But Moses, by the leadership of the Lord, says, no, not here. This is the world. We need to be away from here, and the choice was 3 days' journey to be away. And so when Pharaoh came back and made the offer, the Lord your God in the wilderness, verse 28, Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Don't get out of my reach, is what he's saying. Because I will come back after you if you attempt to flee. Well, it was very clear. Moses said, behold, I go out from thee. I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to their Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither did he let them go. And so Pharaoh desired that they just wouldn't go very far. You know, it's something how the world always wants to kind of have a hand in things. Instead of Pharaoh says, yes, you have caused us so much heartache and so much damage and so much suffering, you just go ahead and go. That'll be just fine. You go. But instead of that, Pharaoh had to say, you know, just don't go too far. And so as we come on down the line, why, Moses says, now, in the past, you have said you'll let us go. You didn't. Please do not deal deceitfully anymore. Let the people go and sacrifice unto the Lord. Well, we find in the 32nd verse that he didn't. He hardened his heart once again. At this time also, neither would he let the people go. And we're going to find out here as we continue that it's going to change to where Pharaoh hardened his heart, to where the Lord hardened his heart. There is a point of no return. I don't know when it is. I don't know where it is. But I do know that it exists because we have example after example in the Word of God. And so as you are tempting God and refusing to come by faith to Him, always saying, I'll come another day, that other day may never come. So I'm asking you today, as you listen to the Word of God, and you have never come by faith to Jesus Christ, truly, confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in your heart, if you have never truly believed in your heart, salvation is not yours, heaven is not yours, hell is your home, the place of torment will be your immediate home upon death, but the lake of fire will be your eternal home. My eternal home is next to the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. What a wonderful place to be, is to be in heaven. But I don't have to wait for the blessings of God. I receive the blessings of God and the peace of God right here and now. So why would anyone want to wait? Why would anyone put off coming? It's because you're just like Pharaoh. You refuse to believe. The God of this world has got you duped. and you're following after the god of this world, which is none other than the devil, that's who you're looking to. That's who you're watching. So please, I ask that you will set aside your pride, and you will come with a broken, contrite heart unto the Lord and call upon him to save you, and he will. So please, don't be a Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his heart, the scripture says, at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. And so the flies are gone. Every one of them, not one remained, the scripture says. So evident. Now we come to chapter 9. We're going to begin reading once again. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. This was a request of God, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go, and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon thy horses, upon thy asses, upon thy camels, upon thy oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a grievous murrain, and the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow. And all the cattle of Egypt died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. And the Lord said unto Moses and to Aaron, Take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it towards the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh, and it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. We have, once again, two more. We're going to end with the reading of the scripture right there at the 9th verse, and we'll pick it up from there. We have read now concerning the 5th plague. The 5th plague is the disease, the cattle disease, and it has that word murrain. And the definition of that word, which is not common to us, it says grievous murrain, a disease among cattle that is fatal. And it not only infected the cattle, but also horses, the asses, the camels, and the oxen, and the sheep. It went into all the livestock. And it wasn't just something that was made them sick. It killed them. And it killed all the cattle, the horses, the camels, the oxen, the sheep. You know, you think about the strength of Egypt. Part of the strength of Egypt was its tremendous wealth and the horses to drive drive the chariots, you know, that they could send the chariots out at times of war, and they had the powerful horses. Well, there wasn't one that did not face this. And so as we look now, and the only reason that it spared some of them is because each time it was something that was progressive. As the death angel will come through at the last plague, the death of the firstborn, and it moved through the city, I believe that these plagues were much the same way. They would cross through the land, and at a point in time, Pharaoh would say, Enough! And he would call for Moses and Aaron to stop it before all was destroyed. And I think that's about what happened here. And what was taking place here, though, as other plagues we have seen, it did not affect Israel. And if the Egyptian oxen was standing next to an Israelite oxen, the Israelite oxen was fine and healthy and strong, and the oxen of Egypt, of Pharaoh, would drop over dead. And so I believe that that was so evident throughout all the land. And again, we have had this before. We have seen this before, that these plagues would not come. We look back to verse 22 of the 8th chapter. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies or these beetles shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And so with the fourth plague, that plague did not affect the land of Goshen where the Israelites lived. And now he says very clearly again, this plague, the cattle disease that is sent out here, a fatal disease, it will affect only the cattle, the oxen, the asses, the horses of the land of Egypt only. And the reason that God did that is because then there was no question. There was no question whatsoever that God is doing it. When God brings judgment, man knows it's judgment. You know, there's been a lot of references made through the years, you know, of something that's taking place, and that's God's judging hand. It may be, it may not be. But when a full-blown judgment comes upon a people, the people know that it's God's hand doing it. Now, they may not accept it. Pharaoh, one minute did, one minute didn't. Back and forth, back and forth. But we know that God's hand of judgment here is so clear that not one Egyptian servant to the Egyptians or Pharaoh himself, they know it's the hand of God that's bringing this judgment. And each time that a judgment would come and it would divide so clearly between Israel and Egypt, when that took place, only then God would receive glory. And many times that glory was just a matter that Pharaoh and the Egyptians would reject. They would not accept that this is God doing it. God still is magnified when he shows his power. And Israel, this should have been instilled in Israel's life, in their mind, in their eyes, as they would witness this. You look at how afraid and scared that Egypt should have been, and look at Israel and how they stood. Now, when Israel come and they would stand there watching this happen and that their livestock was not touched, you think about how that should have grown them and strengthened them, that they would have withstood everything. Well, we know, if you've read the rest of the story, if you've been through God's word, you'll realize that from the day they pull out of Egypt, when Pharaoh does finally let him go, one of their most common arguments, their common statements, and that statement is, were there no graves in Egypt? Because they knew they were going to die. Were there no graves in Egypt? That was the most common statement of Israel. And look at what Israel is experiencing here. And so I'm asking you, when God does a miracle in your heart and saves you, accept that. Know that you're saved, and you will know it, because God indwelling with you, you're going to be a different person. You're going to begin to change. Your desires, your likes, all those things will change, because now you are born again. And so if you have not experienced that, if you do not know that Jesus Christ lives within your heart, you're not born again. Now please, come to a Bible preaching, soul winning church. Come to a church. Come here. Go to a solid church. Get out of that liberal church that you're in, if that's where you're going. Go to a church that preaches the Word of God. Do not compromise. Moses just continued to hand out these plagues. Pharaoh just continued to turn against them. But here we find, as we find this disease, this fatal disease, there shall nothing die at all that is the children of Israel. All this grievous disease that was coming, is a terrible, terrible time that's going to be upon the land of Egypt. Verse 6 of the 9th chapter, the Lord did that thing on the morrow. He set the time. You see, God gave Pharaoh time to repent. God gave Pharaoh time to reflect back on what has happened and think, okay, God's serious about this. I have to repent and turn and let these people go, or we're going to be destroyed. He set the time. It was a day ahead of time, 24 hours, I suppose, to do it, to decide. The Lord did the thing on the morrow. Pharaoh never repented. And all the cattle of Egypt died. How many? All the cattle. But of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. Oh, this in here was the sacred bull god. Apis is the name of this Egyptian god. And their cattle, their cows, they were sacred to them. And yet they dropped over dead. But all of the cows of Israel didn't. Not one, the scripture says. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Now it tells us down here in an earlier verse that Pharaoh hardened his heart. Now here we find, behold, there was not one of the cattle of Israelites dead, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Whether he hardened it himself or whether the Lord hardened it, it doesn't matter, because we're getting to a place of no return with this man. And yet we do know he did let the people go. And it came to pass, as we come to the next one, the Lord said unto Moses in the 8th verse, we come to the next one, and to Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it towards the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. It wasn't done behind the door, behind the scene, and Pharaoh had to come to see or get word to what was going on. Every time Moses stood before Pharaoh, he waited till Pharaoh was coming his way, remember, with the Nile and with the frogs and things like that. He waited till Pharaoh come by, till Pharaoh was in his audience. And then he set forth this plague, because it was directly against the Egyptians, but it was directly against Pharaoh and the gods that they worshipped and praised. Well, we find now that this handful of ashes, and you take them towards heaven, sprinkle them towards heaven in the sight of Pharaoh, and it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt. And it shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon men and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took the ashes of the furnace, stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up towards heaven. And it came a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of all of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And Pharaoh hardened the heart of Pharaoh. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. The Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. Oh, this plague, the boils, and this word that we have here, the boils and the blains, it is not only outside boils, open boils and sores, so painful. But it was inside too. So it was inside them and outside them. It was like an immediate cancer that just come, and their bodies just immediately become full of these boils. And it wasn't just the people, it was also the cattle, it says, the beast. Now we're told up here that all the cattle died. And so what beasts are left here? There must be some left someplace. But all these come and they set up on the people. And as these boils come, and there is nothing said that these touched any of the Israelites or the Israelites' cattle or livestock. And so here we come. Magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils was upon the magicians and upon all of the Egyptians. We find again, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. This time it is clear that the Lord God did it. What did I say concerning there's a point in time when there is no return? Now you say, well, that's not a kind, gracious, loving God. God has been so patient. And if you bring those words before him, you just as well waste your breath, save your breath. Because God is a just God. God is a patient God. And before part of these, he would set the day. Tomorrow I will do this. Tomorrow I will do this. And that way Pharaoh had all night. And Pharaoh's advisors and Pharaoh's magicians and all those people had a day to think on it, to try to figure out what to do. And yet they still denied it and rejected it and had no desire to do what the Lord had called them to do. And we find here that as Pharaoh hardened his heart, that the Lord said to Moses, verse 13 of the 9th chapter, Moses said, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. We are about to witness the full wrath of God, and is coming soon. The full wrath of God is going to be handed out upon these people. And you know, when you deny God, and there are reports out, there are books out, there's all kinds of nonsense out that says that Jesus Christ is not God. And if you don't believe that he is God, maybe you don't have to go through what Pharaoh had to go through on this earth, but it will be what Pharaoh will face in hell is 10,000 times worse than what he has faced here upon this earth. And maybe you haven't faced such judgment as Pharaoh faced, but judgment is going to come. It may come in the life after this, and I promise you there is life after death. There is life. There's eternal life. And that eternal life is not just for the saved. That eternal life is for the lost too. But your is eternal damnation, eternal dying in the fires of hell. The lake of fire will be your eternal home. Please that you look to the saving power of Jesus Christ today. We find as he come, and he says, I will send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants, upon thy people, that thou may know. There's going to be no question that Pharaoh and all the people of Egypt are going to know who is bringing this. And now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for I show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. You have made yourself God to them. You are controlling them, and I should be controlling them. And they will come, and they will serve me, and they will leave you. But you see, Pharaoh was a god himself, and that's coming to the last and final one. When we get that far, we're going to find that death of the firstborn, the death of the firstborn, is the ultimate of all of them. You see, when you're going against God, when you're standing against him, you will lose. Please, my dear friend, come to Jesus Christ today and be saved. Trust in his precious blood. Call upon him. What are you going to do about Jesus?